You know, this is fun. I look forward to these classes. I didn't know that the Hebrew and in Hebrew, they speak to men and women
absolutely
differently. You know, I've looked up words and I've seen feminine forms and masculine forms, but I didn't really put together how.
So when you speak to a woman, you have to use the feminine form.
Yeah.
That's right.
I wonder what it sounds like.
It usually has an ah sound on the end.
Can you give us an example? I was wondering about it.
Speak to him and then speak to
Well, if you say you a lot of times if you're going to use an imperative like do something, do something, you with a woman you put an E sound on the end of it, with a man you don't.
Okay.
So anytime you instruct a woman to do something, you put it has an E sound, end it with an E.
Say a word. Food, honey.
Well, you would say if you're going to say speak, or you're going to say something, you would say Omri. But if you're going to say it to a, if that's to a woman.
Yeah, because.
But if you're going to say it to a man, it's Omer.
Oh, okay.
But if you're going to say it to a woman, it's Omri. So you know it, you hear that E sound on the end of it, you know you're talking to a woman.
Spanish have something like that too, and some of it involved, not that detailed.
I don't know for sure about Spanish.
I think it does. I think it's got feminines and masculines.
Yeah.
This is high school Spanish, yeah. So I don't remember.
I don't know that the verbs are, you can tell that it's feminine or masculine. It's other, nouns and adjectives and pronouns.
So if you're going to say, let's say you say a man, and he said, let's say in Hebrew you're going to say, and he said, it's va yomer.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, and she said, you say va tomer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you with one you use a y sound, and the other you use a T sound.
Okay.
So there's no way to really mistake that you're talking to a woman.
Right.
Well, the English, you know, you can say, well, he went to the store. Well, you know that you're talking about a man because you said, so English has.
There is, yeah, that's right.
But in the Hebrew, if you said speak, you don't know who you're talking
but
to.
So if.
I mean,
if,
English.
If I say, right. If I say, how are you? If I say that to Ray, I say, mashalom kha. If I say it to you, I say, mashalomet.
So it's the verbs. Like,
well, in that case, it is a pronoun. Mashalom ka to a man is mashalomet to a woman.
The U has feminine or masculine.
The what?
The Y-O-U is feminine or masculine.
Well, yes, it is. Yes, it's, yeah, that's right. So it's this is a great benefit when you're reading the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you know who you're talking to. You see, in the Hebrew, it's very seldom ever ambiguous about who you're talking to, whether it's the man talking to the woman or the woman talking to the man. It's clear in Hebrew who you're talking to. It's not, you know, there's usually no question.
Yeah.
So it is it's a benefit, but in this particular case, you know, it adds an interesting flavor to this whole story. Who was talking to whom and where and what, you know, what they were saying. But it's interesting.
That is awesome. Last week, what caught my attention was the six measures of barley, and like Brother Horton said, she was a Gentile woman. And it seems to me like everything Boaz did was communication to Naomi, as well as the act of giving her that barley. Verse 15, he said, and also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured six measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. So I guess she held the veil and he filled it with six measures of barley, and she,
yes, sir. Apparently so.
She could carry it. And she said, these six measures, now she knew it was six measures of barley, She said to Naomi, she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" And he knew that, it seems like he knew Naomi would coach her and what to do. In verse 18, then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." And she was right. She knew perfectly how men thought and what he would do.
That is true.
In verse 1, like Brother Horton said, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto whom he said, 'Ho, such a one.'" I wonder what that expression is. "Turn aside. Sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit ye down here.' And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, 'Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou would redeem it, redeem it. But if thou would not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then said Boaz, 'What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.' And the kinsman said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it.'" This is all Boaz wanted to hear. And back to the 6 measures of barley. If we're looking at a week, we have 6 days that we work. And on the 7th day, we rest. It's as if she had finished her work and she was about to enter rest. Could that be so, Brother Horton?
The what now?
The 6 measures of barley, yeah. Barley, it could represent a week. And then she was about to enter rest.
Yeah.
She married Boaz.
Yeah. Her week was up. Mm-hmm. She's about to become queen of the manor.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
I was reading in Hebrew last week. I was doing a broadcast that included Hebrews chapter 2. And it was talking about how they didn't enter the rest. When Jesus returns, we meet him in mid-air at the rapture. The rapture begins our rest. This is the day that we can work. The 6 days we can work. But when the rapture happens, that's evening.
Very true.
We're done. All our works stops that day. So all of her gleaning days are over.
Yeah, her gleaning days are over. That's right.
And she's about to
glean no more.
Yeah.
Now things will be done for her. That's right. Uh-huh. That's true.
Yeah, we're about to have a rest.
That's right.
Yeah. And about 2.5 weeks ago, I woke up early one morning, and the Lord spoke. He said, "My return is imminent. Tell my people to be ready."
Amen.
You know, he wants us to be ready, rapture ready.
Yes.
I like living rapture ready. Pastor Jim, sometimes he'll say, you know, we need to be current. You know, if anything that's wrong, get it right before the Lord. Repent and stay current and live rapture ready. Now, Ruth, she was ready to be redeemed. She was rapture ready, so to speak.
Yes, she was.
She did everything by the counsel of her mother-in-law. to me, that represents, his, her counsel represents what the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to us. And I don't, in years ago, I would ponder what, whether to do what he said do or not. I wouldn't, I was more green at following God. But now, I pray for his guidance. And whatever he say, I want to, I speak the word, I speak to my heart, so I'll readily receive what he say. Readily receive his wisdom, readily act on it. And that way I can keep things moving along. The more we cooperate with him, the more good things can follow. You know, one thing about Ruth being a valued woman, she was never contrary. From the time she left Moab to here.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's the
definition of contrary.
The 40 years in the wilderness.
That's contrary.
That's still breaking your heart.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
And still hard-headed.
You know, she was submissive to Naomi.
Yeah.
And she was submissive to Boaz.
Yeah.
And these days, women don't want to be submissive to anybody.
No.
They, you know, we have a real problem with that in this century about women being submissive.
Yeah. And she was in David's lineage, who was very submissive to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't care. Whatever God said, that was it. He kept that faith going, except the times that he fell. But other than that, he did what he quickly repented when he was wrong. He quickly obeyed the Lord. He was quick to do it. And there's a blessing in that quick response. When Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And they answered. And then he said, whom do you say that I am? When he made that statement, he was fishing for the most faithful of the bunch. Peter said, you are the Son of God. The same thing happened to Isaiah. Isaiah was caught up with the other prophets. He said, I also was among the prophets. And he said, who will go for me? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He was the first one to volunteer. The Lord was fishing for who would do this special work. And sometimes the Lord will do that. So a quick response to the Holy Spirit can make the difference. And the Lord will anoint you to do a specific thing that would definitely make the difference. Because he wants the best there. He wants the person that will give him the highest chance of success. And a quick response to the Holy Spirit would make the difference. And remember, the other girl was named before Ruth.
Yeah.
She could have chosen to do the same thing.
That's true.
But she didn't.
Because she wasn't the issue's child.
No.
Ruth was.
That's right, exactly. That is correct.
It's interesting, though, that Naomi had said, y'all go back home.
Yeah.
And so Orpah respected that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't connected. She didn't have the same connection that Ruth did, evidently.
And evidently, but maybe that's what she was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like Ruth was not being respectful to her to begin with. Like, I'm not leaving.
She saw something.
Naomi didn't beg anybody to come with her.
No, she did not.
She, as a matter of fact, she tried to discourage them.
Yes.
And Ruth, is that's what I'm saying.
That's
Ruth
right.
was going, uh-uh.
That's right.
So it looks like disrespect in a way.
Oh, see, I see it totally different.
I just see it as her.
In Proverbs 31 and 17, it says, "She with power she girds up her loins."
Man, I love it.
So Ruth girded up her loins.
Yeah.
And she stood up and she said, no, I'm coming with you.
Taking care of you.
So you've got to take it in context.
That's right. See, you. That's right. So, you know, in a lot of times in the Bible, it says in so-and-so, or where God spoke to Job, and he said, gird up your loins like a man,
yeah.
and I'll speak to you.
Yeah.
Well, a woman can gird up her loins as well.
Yeah.
But the idea is you need to stand up and be aggressive, mm-hmm. and take charge and do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And at the same time, she also did the opposite, because when Ruth, when Naomi told her to be still and stay there, she did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no standing up, gourd up your loins. I know. Yeah. So it's all walking in God's plan.
Yeah.
She wasn't being, yeah, she wasn't being disrespectful.
No.
At all. And she was loving Naomi.
Yes.
Even though Naomi said, go home, mm-hmm. you know, she could have gone home, but her love for Naomi, I think, mm-hmm. and she saw something in Naomi, as Mary has said, I don't want to go, I want to be with you.
Well, the thing is that the idea with the Proverbs 31 woman is that, you know, there are things that are hard for women to do. They're
yes.
hard.
Yes.
But, you know, you just... You know, an S.S. Kyle does that which is hard. She yes. does that which is difficult.
Yeah.
she is not a fading flower. She's
yeah.
she's strong.
She but at the same time, the strength when she needed to stay there instead of go fix it herself, she stayed there.
Well,
so that's
there
the
she
strength too.
The idea she doesn't you know she doesn't try to be a man.
Right.
She doesn't try to be a man. She still respects, you know, the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is feminist. She is a woman. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible teaches us men should be men and women should be men. Women should be women.
Right.
That we, you know, you do, and you don't get them all crossed up here.
Right.
Well, you know, like
but
the,
anyway,
like the virtuous woman, it says that she does her husband good.
Mm-hmm. And not
so
evil
she's
all
doing
the days
stuff,
of her life. That's
but
right.
whatever she does, it says she does him good and not evil.
Yes,
all
not
the
evil.
Days of her. So she's
that's
doing
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
But she's doing it because she wants to.
That's correct.
Well, she wants to please the Lord because she's a virtuous woman. She wants to bless her husband. She wants to be. She wants to follow the biblical lines of doing
that's
stuff.
Right.
And
exactly.
she does.
And we want to do God good and
she
not
is,
evil.
Yes,
that's exactly what that's
wrong.
Exactly what Paul was
wrong.
Telling the church to do in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I said scripture. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What's the same?
Well, let's get Ephesians and look at it. what does he say? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Gave himself for it.
Yeah.
So there's instructions to men to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
As the church, this is Ephesians chapter 5.
Uh-huh.
As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. This is 5 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5 and 24.
Yeah.
So, The church is supposed to be submissive to Christ in all things.
Yeah.
He is the head, and we don't give the orders.
Right.
We don't give orders. The church doesn't give orders to God. We take orders from the bridegroom.
Uh-huh. And I like to condition myself to quick to take orders.
Yes.
Because
yes, that's true.
That the times that I left things up to happenstance, I didn't do too good. I had a delayed response. And so in order to repent, I said, Lord, how did that happen? And I get information on why I did something. You know, I ask him why I do stuff sometimes. And then he pointed out, because your habit system can be crazy. You know, you do things by habit, not meaning any harm, but it can get in the way. So I learned not to trust Thurston with something very important. We're gonna get a grip on this. And I said, and I used my confessions of faith. I would do ahead of time. I will quickly obey God. I want to do all that's in His heart, and it works. But we're out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time.
Lord, I thank you for your word.